How about if we all turn over to 662? 662. Pastor. Yeah. Redeem how I love to proclaim. Okay. Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeem. You don't know this one, Nancy?
We're singing the wrong song.
Oh. Oh, 663 is, I guess maybe we got two of them here. Let's try 663. Okay. There we go. No. No one tonight. No. My voice can't hit that tonight. Yeah. Yeah, 663. Redeem how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me shall continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards my footsteps and gives me a song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of child and forever I am. Amen. Thank you, Nancy. I'm sorry. Yeah, I tell you. All right. 632. All right.
What happened, number one?
can't hear you. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. I don't hear you. No, I'm just kidding. 430. 430. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew. Me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Come here, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. now imagine his belt for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
401.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
One more and we'll have our offering. Brother Roger, would you come for our offering at this?
631.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of the rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen.
All right, we're glad you're here tonight. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the first chapter. Acts chapter 1. We're going to find in three verses here something that could be enlarged upon to make a whole book. I want you to notice something that's in verses 9, 10, and 11. One of the greatest events that's taken place in a long time. In the first few verses of this chapter, we find that our Lord Jesus Christ is out on top of the Mount of Olives, which is on the east of Jerusalem. With him are his apostles, and he is teaching them. He is still talking. He is giving them a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here's what happens. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, he's still talking, see, just finished, period. While they beheld, they're watching him, they're looking, while they beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Are you with me? Are you there? Are you watching this? We're with Christ, and all of a sudden, he begins to rise right before their eyes. And they watched him as he went up until a cloud, he went into the cloud, and they saw him no more. This is his ascension, and these are the verses that cover that important part of his life, his ascension. And while they, verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. Now, he was, want this to stick in your mind. While they beheld, he was taken up. He didn't go down, he went up. Keep your directions straight in this. They looked steadfastly toward heaven. They were looking up toward heaven because he went up. Okay? They looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven. How many times has he said up so far? Okay? I want that those two little letters there to stick in your mind. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, here he's talking about his second coming. What's his second coming going to be like? It's going to be like his ascension. When he ascended, he went up, and when he comes back, he's coming down. One day, I had a funeral out here at La Vista Cemetery. That's the one over here in the edge of National City, 805 Sweetwater Road area. And it was a clear, sunny morning. And that's kind of high up, you know, on a little hill. You could look toward the west and you could see the ocean. Beautiful sight. You could look east and you could see the mountains. You could look to the north and see the skyline of the city of San Diego. Everything was beautiful, clear and crisp. A magnificent panoramic view from there. And as I began to address the small group of mourners that were there, about the omnipotence of the Almighty God of creation. Here we stood on this hilltop, on this planet Earth, looking up into the vastness of the heavens above, a clear blue sky. We were alive, vibrant human beings, with the earthly remains of a 91-year-old woman that we were there to bury. Life in the presence of death. On a dying planet that has been suspended in space since the beginning, because in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I wondered once again about the souls of men and about life after death, of infinity and of eternity. About an hour ago, I was talking to my brother Tommy down in Dallas. They had the viewing for his wife Virginia today, and he was telling me about it and about how many people that came out and how many of our relatives that he hadn't seen in a long time were there. Again, life in the presence of death. I thought, how does one get off this planet Earth? You get on a rocket ship and they shoot you out into space. Where are you going to go? How do you get off of this planet Earth? How do we get to heaven? Physically speaking, I'm talking about now. And exactly where is heaven anyway? We talk a lot about it, but none of us knows where it is. And so many people don't know how to get there. But we better find an answer to these questions, because we're not going to be here forever. Our days are few, and we'll be joining the billions who have already died. But there's one thing about it: heaven has been around for a long, long time. Genesis 1:1 tells us that it was there in the beginning. God created it. And I know I've heard about heaven all of my life. That's been a long time. I've always been told that when a person who is saved, one who's been born again, dies, he goes to heaven to be with God. We know the scriptures: absent from the body, present with the Lord. This I believe. God's word teaches it. Heaven's first mentioned over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's the way the Bible starts off. Talks about heaven. And then it's mentioned 690 times more as you read on through the scriptures. So it's a real place. Songs have been sung about it. Poems have been written about it. We may be somewhat familiar about Earth. We've been over a lot of it. But what do we really know about heaven? Where is it? Is it just sky? Is it just outer space? When someone asks, where is heaven? We have to answer that with another question and say, which one? From Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, on through the rest of the Bible, many times that word is plural. And they put an S on the end of heaven. And they make it heavens, which means there's more than one. Let me give you a good example of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. From Paul's writings to the Christians in the church at Corinth, he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. But listen to this. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up. We've already established the fact that heaven is up. But there's three of them, at least. He was caught up to the third heaven. Now, from this verse that Paul writes here, we learn some things about it. First of all, he confirms the fact that heaven is up. He was caught up. And then we find there are at least three heavens. Three of them. We also learn that a person has to die to get there. You can't get there like you are unless the rapture takes place. And then, when you look at verse 4 there in 2 Corinthians 12, we learn that the third heaven and paradise are the same. Now, when we think of paradise, we think of Jesus being crucified and the thief on the cross saying, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And we know that at that time paradise was in the heart of the earth, but now then paradise is moved to the third heaven. We don't even know where the first one is. Yet, maybe we'll find out before I get to the end of this sermon. Now, where is heaven? Heaven is up. Well, we got a problem here, folks. In some part of the world, up is down. I've been over there in Jerusalem. I've been over there to that place on the Mount of Olives where they say that Jesus went back up into heaven from. Now, it's a 2-day journey by airplane from San Diego over there. And if you look at a globe, you'll find it's on the other side of the world. So, you're here in San Diego, and I'm over there standing on the Mount of Olives where Jesus went up. And I stand there and I look up. And if you're in San Diego and you want to see the same direction that I'm looking, you got to look down. Because you're on the other side of the world. And from where I am, I'm looking up. But my up is your down. See what I mean? Where's heaven? You know, if we didn't lay down to sleep at night, we'd spend half of our lives standing with our heads upside down. Really? Now let me give you some scriptures. Let's look and see what the Bible says. That's what we're interested in. John chapter 3, verse 13. I got three or four of these scriptures in John. And they're the words of Christ. John 3:13. And no man hath ascended. The word ascended means to go up, doesn't it? Descend is down, ascend is up. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. You see directions here, they're important. Ascended up, came down from, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, here's another one. We're going out of John for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Give you a new view of these verses. For the Lord himself, this is in the context about Jesus coming again, his second coming. The Lord himself shall descend from, that means to come down, doesn't it? Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, mark it again, shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You see, the down and up descend from. The Lord's going to do the descending from when he comes back. And we're going to be the ones who are caught up. John, again, chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Cometh down from heaven. John 6:38. Jesus says, for I came down from heaven to the earth, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And again, let me just point these out to you. In verse 41, verse 42, verse 50, verse 51, and verse 58. I won't take time to read all of these to you, but just remind you that seven times in these connected verses, it says, came down from heaven. And in verse 62, he says, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Ascend up. Our text there, again, Acts 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up. Heaven is up. But now, let's get technical. We're trying to find heaven. And we know, we've already said it, that if you're over there in Jerusalem, and I'm over here, and you are on the telephone with me, you say, I'm going up. I'm going to start looking this way. Because we're on the other side of the world, and up in one place is down on the other. Up at the time of Jesus' ascension would be down for us here. Our up would be in exactly the opposite direction. So, you got to get out your old slide rule. You got to do some calculating here. You've got to figure the latitude and the longitude of Jerusalem, in particular the Mount of Olives. This is like launching a moonshot from Cape Canaveral, for goodness sake. Because if you're an inch off down here, you're going to miss the moon by a mile. You got to have that old gun barrel straight on there. Then you got to take into consideration the time of day that it happened. You got to take into consideration his speed at the time of his takeoff. And consider that as he leaves the earth is rotating at a speed of slightly over 1,037 miles an hour. And at the same time, it's orbiting the sun at 6,671 miles an hour. That's moving on, isn't it? This earth is never in the same place in space twice. Now this is where your computer comes in handy. Get a bunch of facts. Now let me throw these at you. We're still trying to figure out where's heaven. This earth is 24,901.55 miles around its equator. The earth's surface area is 196,950,769 square miles. 57,469,928 square miles of this earth's surface is dry land. 139,480,841 square miles of this earth's surface is water. Keep this in mind sometimes when you're reading about the new heaven and the new earth has no seas. There's going to be a lot more land surface. Today, if it can accommodate over 7 billion people, half that many live in Los Angeles. I've been there. But whenever you head east and get out there in Arizona, I've seen stretches of freeway out there to where there wasn't a car in front of me or a car behind. Not very often, but once in a while you're like that. And there's a lot of space out there where nobody's living. The earth rotates on its axis from west to east once every 24 hours at a speed of 1,037.56 miles per hour. And this earth, now this is scientific talk I'm giving you here, and I'm not a scientist, and I couldn't verify this, David, if I had to. But the earth, listen to this, it's hurling through space in orbit around the sun at about 6,671.33 miles per hour. It travels 584,408,920 miles every 365 days. Somebody checked the odometer just couple of days, 4 days ago. And we are on it, held on by gravity. Gravity is kind of like Velcro. It has to be to hold us on here. This earth is 92,960,000 miles from the sun, which itself is rotating at 4,531.22 miles per hour from east to west once every 25 days. Within our own galaxy, the sun and its solar system are hurling at 44,640 miles per hour in the direction of the star Vega in the constellation Lyra. And our Milky Way galaxy is hurling through space at 375 miles per second, or 22,500 miles per minute, or 1,350,000 miles an hour. We are moving on. You see why? And I flunked science when I was in school. Isn't that amazing? Our question still is, where is heaven and how does one get there? Is it in our solar system? That old Hubble telescope that we've got out yonder has never found it. The space probe has not located it. The astronauts who've gone out into space have never seen it. Is it even in our universe? These modern astronomers say that, and I quote, that it is at least 10 billion light years to the edge of the universe. And light travels at 186,282 miles per second. And the edge is at least 10 billion light years away. And what happens when you get to the edge? Is the whole universe flat like people used to think the earth was? Do you just go out to the edge and drop off? If you do, what do you drop off into? Or do you just run into a brick wall? Is heaven inside our universe or outside? Is it another dimension in our universe? Or is it another planet within our galaxy where God sits on his throne and rules? Where is heaven? If you plan on getting there on your own without Jesus Christ, you'd better find out, otherwise you might miss it. If you don't know where it is or how to get there while you're alive, how in God's name do you think you can find it after you're dead? Now let me really mix you up. Another verse of Scripture, God says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, it says of Jesus, he that descended, that's at his coming, when he came the first time, he that descended is the same also that ascended, that means go up, ascended up, far above all heavens. We know there's three, but we don't know how many more there are. But he ascended up far above all heavens. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I'm sorry. That's why I'm trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ to get me there. I wouldn't know which direction to start out, because up is down in some places. And if I tried it on my own, I might wind up down instead of up. I'm glad I don't have to make it on my own. Oh, by the way, we know that heaven has windows, doesn't it? Because God said he had opened the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. But that's nothing new. My computer's got windows. Heaven must also have a door because Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, heaven is not the New Jerusalem that John wrote about over in the book of Revelation, because he says of it, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, listen to this, descending out of heaven from God. Descending means coming down. It's coming down out of, from heaven, from God. And then he wrote, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. If it's coming down, then heaven is up. And the New Jerusalem that's described in Revelation is coming down from heaven. And then John wrote, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now, did he mean that present heaven that's up there now, where our loved ones are, who've died in Christ? The one that God made in Genesis 1:1? Or did he mean the first heaven that Paul wrote when he said there are three? Was it the first of the three that Paul talks about? I don't know the answer to that. But I would challenge you to kind of mentally step out somewhere in space and take a long, hard look at this planet Earth. You've seen pictures of it that have come from outer space. I want you to see this Earth, its moon, its stars, its sun. I want you to see the blackness of outer space. And I want you to see yourself, a minute creature, not as big as a bug. I want you to see your mortality, that regardless of how long you live or how short your life may be, it will eventually end in death. So what will happen to you when you die? We only have God's word that we have, or that we are a soul, that we are immortal. Science has not proven that. The Bible does. But science doesn't. No soul has ever been seen on an X-ray or a CAT scan of your body. No doctor has ever dissected a body and found any part of an anatomy that looks like a soul. So I suggest that we make things right with God, because he's the only one that can get us out of the grave on Resurrection Day. Some man can go out to the cemetery and dig your body up, but it's just going to be a skeleton of bones. Only God can cause the dead to live again. Good living won't fill the bill. The good die along with the bad. And consider the alternative, if you will. If you don't go to heaven when you die, there's only one other place that you can wind up in. And that's that place called hell. And we don't want to go there. How does one get to heaven? It's easy and it's simple. It's a man. And that man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, I repeat, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The devil's not going to take you to heaven when you die. Only Jesus can. He is from there. He created the place. He came down from it. He went back to it. He's there now. He's coming back down here for us to take us up there with him. There's not another religion in the world today that can make such an offer. Jesus, the Son of God, is the only way. Let's stand together for prayer. We'll be dismissed. Service. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence in prayer, that you hear us when we pray. We thank you for giving us our Bible that tells us where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going when we die. We thank you, Father, for your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he redeemed us with his blood. We thank you for the privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the, not only the inspiration, but for the assurance that you give us through your Holy Spirit by the Word of God, that we're saved. And if I were called home at this very moment, I have all the assurance that a person can have that I would go to be with you. And I thank you for that. And I'm sure that I speak for each person here tonight in this assembly. So help us to be concerned about these things and realize that people without Christ are lost. They don't know the way, and they'll never find heaven on their own. Watch over us now this coming week. Bring us back again in assembly this coming Wednesday evening for our Bible study. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it all, for you are our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for listening.